Don't forget that tonight at sunset is the Jewish festival of Yom Kippur, a day of atonement, or the great day of atonement. The day on which, back in the Old Testament, of course, the blowing of trumpets celebrated the Jubilee year, the 50th year. Anticipated, of course, at the Feast of Weeks, which was the 50th day. Now, Yom Kippur, of course, on the Day of Atonement, there is a day of confession and cleansing of sins. And that's what the Day of Atonement was about. Under the jurisdiction of the law, the high priest, as you remember, in the Old Testament, made offerings for himself and entered the holiest of all, and made offerings on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. And once a year, of course, the high priest entered the holiest of all. And there was national cleansing. But I love the feature that perhaps the Jewish nation may not recognize so much. And I would like to bring out this feature of Yom Kippur. And this feature of Yom Kippur is about Joseph. And Joseph, of course, was loved by his father more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, Genesis 37:3 says. And he made him a coat reaching to the soles of his feet. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brothers, and they hated him still more. Now, so, you know, there was a double whammy, wasn't there? There was this, the fact, the evidential fact that the father loved this one and gave him attention, and that indeed God loved this one and gave him some attention, a dream. Now remember, back in that dispensation, dreams, of course, were significant, weren't they? I.e. they were signs or information given. And of course, Joel speaks about dreams playing a part in the future. I don't think dreams have any significance for us today. Now, I said I wanted to bring this feast down to a personal level. And I want to point out to us that God does make choices in and within families, and within his family as well. And in Acts 15:7, you know, Peter is standing up at the council and he says in verse 7, a long while ago, God made a choice among us that by my mouth I should preach to the Gentiles. Remember, it was Peter sent to Cornelius. Now, a long, long time ago, the Apostle Paul wrote a prayer. Do you remember this prayer? It's a very famous prayer. You and I know it so well. It's in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul writing and saying, I also, hearing of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What was this prayer of the Apostle Paul? He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, friends, I need to point out, without going too far afield here, that within us today, it is my contention that God does make answers to this prayer, and he does give some this deep understanding. I'm not going to suggest that those who don't have it are not members of the church which is his body. I leave that. But I'm simply saying that today there is also a choice made by God. And you and I, by his grace, and without any brilliance on our own part or any worth, stand today as those within whom God has answered this prayer. I believe we do have an understanding of some of the deeper things of God, just as Joseph had an understanding that was given him. And it was Joseph's brothers who rejected him, remember. It was his own family. And I would like to remind us that quite often, when we are given understanding, when we try to walk worthy of it, sometimes the hardest rejection will come from within our own family. We're not to be discouraged. Remember, when God gives us added light, he gives us added responsibility. And there will be some added suffering as a natural consequence. That's for sure. You know, when we do receive from the Lord understanding about his word, we do get excited, don't we? We're all basically very similar. We want to share it, don't we? We want to tell others about it. And so, where do we start? We're like Joseph, aren't we? We want to start with our family. They're the ones who love us. They're the ones we love. And we want to tell them about it. Well, I'm sure you have stories as you've tried to share right division and the glorious riches of the post-Acts letters of Paul. I'm sure you have stories about the glazed eyes. Do you know, you can feel, can't you, the walls going up. And you can feel. Can't you feel when you try so desperately by the grace of God to tell them these excitable things, they seem to say with themselves, who made you more special than us? Our family have been Salvation Army all their lives. Why are you suddenly talking about things that we've never talked about? How come you have this special knowledge? What makes you, and they always want to use the term better than us, don't they? They always go into the default position that somehow or other we are setting ourselves up as being better than them. And you will get criticism because you're not meek and you're not loving and you're not being gracious simply because you're trying to tell the truth and to share it. Ah, but you see, Yom Kippur is a day when our families will understand. Do you see? When we talk about Joseph, Joseph is a type of Christ, isn't he? Did you know that the Lord Jesus actually went to his family and he proclaimed to them? Not only his family, but his neighbors and friends. Come on, everybody. What was the response? The Lord's ministry, for the most part, was in Galilee. And after the trials that the enemy brought upon him, he returned, Luke 4:14, in power of the Spirit into Galilee. And a report went out throughout all the neighborhood concerning him. And you can guarantee people are going to talk about you, just as the brethren taught and spoke about Joseph. It may not be quite so good. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. I love that, as his custom was. You'll find that again in the book of Acts, when Luke, the same writer, refers to the Apostle Paul and his Acts period ministry. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, he's going to reveal to them something wonderful. The Saviour is going to declare to his brethren who he is, and he's going to do it in a meek and gracious way, in my opinion. He's going to show them who he is by reading the scripture. Now, the woman at the well, I think, in John, he just said, "I am he," didn't he? But to his brethren, he found a place. Do you see? He found a place. And this is what the prophet Isaiah said. And this is Isaiah 61, isn't it? Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because of this he has anointed me to proclaim the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim deliverance to the captives, and new sight to the blind, to set at liberty those having been crushed." That's Yom Kippur, do you see? That's the Day of Atonement, the heralding in of the Jubilee. You see, Christ, like Joseph, was rejected of his brethren. Isn't that right? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, Luke 4:19. And rolling up the book, returned it to the attendant. He sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened on him. Oh, I can tell you they were. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Now then, they all bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which came out of his mouth. But you see, they said, what? "Is this not Joseph's son?" When you want to preach, you see, to family and friends, they will immediately consider that you are just one of the family. We must be prepared for these things. We must be prepared for those things. It doesn't mean we're to remain silent. We're to remain gracious and kind and meek and all of those things, despite the claims that will be made and accusations that will be levelled against us. And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your native place." And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his native place." No prophet is accepted in his native place. And what happened, he went further down, he spoke about some Gentiles being blessed. And in verse 28 of Luke 4, "And hearing these things that the Gentiles were going to be blessed," for brevity I've left out those verses, you can check them out. Luke 4:28, "And hearing these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him outside the city and led him to the brow of a hill on which their city stood, or was built, in order to throw him down." I think in another reference, and you can check it out, I didn't have time to do that this morning, but he couldn't do many things in his home region because of their lack of faith. In other words, there was no point him performing all those miraculous things because they did not believe in him. Joseph's brethren rejected him. Paul, of course, not widely accepted. In Acts chapter 9, verse 30, Paul returned to his homeland of Tarsus, and there's not a record of what went on there. I think the picture is clear, is it not? That when you and I receive something from the Lord and hope to share it with family and friends, it may not come with a pleasing response. Don't be discouraged by that. Don't close your mouth. Don't cease to speak. But just be prepared for the reactions which I believe the scriptures suggest to us rather strongly that will come. You know, in Numbers, you know I like this particular story, don't you? In Numbers, there is a story about Israel arriving at Kadesh Barnea. And what numbers do I want? Chapter 13. Now, the children of Israel had been told, having been brought to the southern border of the promised land, they had been told to go in and possess it. But their lack of faith, because of their faith being so weak, they said, oh, let's spy out the land. And so the Lord said, send men so that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the sons of Israel. You shall send a man from every tribe of their fathers, every one a ruler among them. And now you know what's coming, don't you? Verse 16, we're going to skip all the names mentioned. Numbers 13, 16. These were the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Ashiah, the son of Nun, Joshua. And they went according to their instructions. And we come down the chapter after they had spied out for 40 days. Isn't it interesting? 40 is such a number of probation, isn't it? A number of probation. The Lord was tried for 40 days. The children of Israel sent in spies for 40 days. Do you know what, friends? Their lack of faith meant they wandered for 40 years. The Lord was rejected by the children of Israel, and the Acts period was another 40 years. It's just amazing, isn't it, how many times 40 comes up as a probationary number for the nation of Israel. Now, Numbers 13, 26, and they left and came to Moses and Aaron. Here they come, they'd spied out the land for 40 days. And to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Remember the verses above, they had to carry a bunch of grapes on a pole between two men, it was so big. And they told him and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. God hasn't deceived us. He's told us the truth, and this is the fruit of it. We have the evidence. Of course, then they spoke about the giants in the land. However, the people that dwell in the land are strong. And the cities are walled, Numbers 13:28, very great. And also we saw the children of Anak there, giants. Well, let's go to chapter 14. And all the congregation of Israel lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept. Do you know, when we bring people good news, they tend to focus on the bad results or consequences, don't they? You want to share with family? They'll say, why should we change? We've been like this forever. It's hard, isn't it? We try and live a life as best we can. And do you know that there will be criticism of us from other people? Friends, whether it be true or not, I can swear and testify to this. It's happened to so many, it will happen to you. I told you about an email I received in Ecuador from an international Bible teacher who told me it was wrong what I did. I didn't do what he said and accused me of doing. I get accused of being ungracious and not having fellowship with other people. There are some who think that because I don't go into other rooms and witness with other folk that, you know, I'm exclusive. Friends, we all have reasons for doing what we do, and they can be honest and before God in prayer, but we'll always, unfortunately, for the most part, be misunderstood. It's happened in the scriptures. It's happened in our own experience. We must never let it embitter us. We must not let it cease our witness. We can't let these things impact us. We must continue. And if you've endured it and you've experienced it and you've had family turn against you, then today think of Yom Kippur. Think of the great day of atonement. Think of the great day in Joseph's life when his brothers finally recognized who he was. And think of the great day of atonement when the nation of Israel will look upon the one that they pierced and they will see him. Now I'm going to focus just a little bit here on Yom Kippur with Caleb. Caleb. And of course, Caleb, what did the children of Israel want to do at the news about the difficulties? Oh yes, when we receive understanding from the Lord, there's always difficulties. Oh, as the hymn says, shall I be taken to the skies on flowery beds of ease? That's never going to happen, is it? The journey to, the journey of faith has the promise and difficulties. The hurdles are never going to stop us, are they? We're going to keep going. And sometimes those hurdles are very, very personal, aren't they? Family itself, the best of friends. Wait till tribulation strikes your friends. Then you'll find out who your friends really are, let me tell you. Now, the children of Israel wanted to turn back, correct? They wanted to go back to Egypt. I mean, that's just throwing in the towel, isn't it? We have that expression, don't we? Throwing in the towel. They come to their first hurdle. They've seen miracle after miracle. God's had a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, and God has swallowed the Egyptians in the sea, so forth, so on. How many did they see? Turning the river into blood, frogs, flies, boils, you name it. And we come to a hurdle and we want to turn back. We don't turn back, you know. And whether that hurdle is the pain of the loss of family and friends, we don't turn back. Christ didn't turn back because his family and those of his own hometown wanted to throw him off the brow of the hill. Now, did he? And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce that, Joshua, Numbers 14:6, and those that searched the land tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the company of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceedingly good land. If Jehovah delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. And they said, don't rebel against the Lord. Do not rebel. Do not rebel. Do you know, friends, you and I, when we have received understanding, when we have received understanding and we know it's from the Lord, oh friends, don't discard it. You know, the riches of the post-Acts epistles of Paul, wonderful vistas of the glorious inheritance in heavenly places, that prayer of Paul that was penned so long ago, I believe has been answered in many of us in this room this morning, and many of the listener. When we see the beauty of that dispensation given to Paul alone, let's not turn back. Let's not rebel against the word of the Lord simply because the majority don't want to know. Simply because the majority, and I'm not talking about the unregenerate, friends. If God reveals something to you and I, then we embrace it, no matter what the cost. We do our best to share it, no matter what the cost. And we walk worthy of it, no matter what the cost. God did not ask you and I to compromise. Understand that, friends. We are not those who watered down what we've been told. Well, let's all go and practice this. Come on, it's okay to do this. Look, you don't want to offend. You don't want to offend the other Christians, do you? No, we don't want to offend them. But we don't want to be ashamed before Christ either on the day of judgment, now do we? I don't think I'm going to stand before the Lord and say, well, you know what, Lord, I just did. You told me to love everybody. And therefore, I did what they did so I could make them feel comfortable. You think that's going to go down too well in the face of the one who was gracious enough to give you and I truth to embrace and to stand for? Of course, there's Joshua and Caleb standing up and telling them that the land is good. And what did they want to do? Stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the sons of Israel. Numbers 14:10. A rebellious heart. Rebellion. There are those in Romans, aren't there, Paul writes about, who suppress the truth. And I can tell you, friends, on what I've read and what I've heard in the wider Christian community, I tell you, I know there are those who suppress the truth for convenience. Now, it's up to you. What will you do? Yom Kippur is the day of sins forgiven, but it's the day when Christ is recognized. That's what this is all about, friends. You know, you might not have a lot of friends between now and glory for standing for truth, but I'll tell you what, in glory, they'll know. And it's glory, and it's the Lord that is before us. We're to set our affection on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And that's not only a focus on the hope before us, it's a reminder to you and I that we've got a walk to walk and a truth to embrace and uphold. Now then, the Lord gets a little bit displeased, to put it mildly, for the children of Israel. Numbers 14:23. And he says, surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him, and has followed me fully, following him fully in the time of rejection. This is a parallel, is it not? Here's a nation that God had redeemed, and there were just a few that followed him fully. What's your walk like today? Is it half-hearted? You got a foot in both camps? Sorry to be a bit of a challenge. This is supposed to be the encouraging Sunday morning service. But I'm telling you, friends, you can't walk with a foot in both camps. It won't work. Been there, done that. That's why the Lord sometimes gives us older people the privilege of talking, because we're the ones that bashed out. I keep telling you, friends, have a look at my forehead, got the big calluses on it, bashing my head against the brick wall, trying to please everybody, don't work. Doesn't work. If God gives you some truth, you stand for it. Follow him fully. That's what Joshua and Caleb did, right? And God reveals truth to us. That prayer of Paul in Ephesians is answered in us today. Yes. And that does not mean compromising or hopping from one camp to another. You're only making your life a misery, friends. Now, did God keep his promise? Stupid question. But I want to ask you, did God keep his promise? Well, have a look at this. Let's go to Joshua 14 for a moment, and we'll pick it up from verse 5. And the land, they've entered the land under Joshua, of course. He entered, didn't he? And they divided the land. So the sons of Israel did. They divided the land. And the sons of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of, there's that name again, Joshua 14:6. I'll let you have a go at that. Caleb comes up. And he said to him, "You know the thing that Jehovah said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, regarding you and me?" Ah, Caleb's got a memory. "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of Jehovah, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought him word again as it was in my heart." Ah, the heart, you see. It's the heart God wants. The heart, friends. You and I must serve him from the heart. And a heart service is not a divided service. Full, totally committed, following fully. "But my brothers that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Oh, we don't want any melted hearts, do we? Like the butter in the skillet or the frying pan. "Oh no, yet I fully followed Jehovah my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and your sons forever, because you have fully followed Jehovah my God.'" Did God remember? "And now, behold, Jehovah has kept me alive these 45 years. I'm telling you something, friends. You walk this walk wholeheartedly. You fully follow the Lord, and he'll be the closest friend you've ever had. You mightn't have many others. Caleb was kept alive. What happened to the others? Perish in the wilderness. There's a spiritual perishing, you know. There's a spiritual perishing. And I can make a parallel here, friends, because I've seen it in my own family. And you'll see it too. But not Caleb. Caleb says, Joshua 14:10, he says, 'I'm 85 years old today.' He's kept alive. He's 85. "And yet I am as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me." Well, I hope I can get to be 85 and as strong as Caleb. I don't know whether that's going to happen. My point is, God keeps his promises. And so Caleb says, "Give me this mountain of which Jehovah spoke on that day." Keep reading, friends, Joshua 14:12. I want to show you something. "Now give me this mountain of which Jehovah spoke on that day, for you heard in that day how the giants were here, there, and the cities were great and fortified. If Jehovah will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as Jehovah said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb for an inheritance. Now notice Caleb is talking about the fortified cities and the giants. "And Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb." Oh, praise God for his faithfulness. "The son of Jephunneh," there it is, "the Kenizzite, to this day, because he fully followed Jehovah, the God of Israel." Oh, and verse 15 is just thrown in for you to ponder. Just thrown in for you to ponder. "And the name of Hebron was before Kirjath Arba. That one was a great man among the giants, and the land had rest from war." Who do you think defeated that area? Who do you think it was at 85 that was still strong to go in and out for war? Who do you think it was that defeated, perhaps, the one great one man among the giants? I'm going to tell you something. There's a spiritual application here, and I can testify to this, that you, as you walk your walk, will probably come across more difficult hurdles as you progress, but you'll overcome them all. You'll overcome them all in the strength that the Lord gives you. The heart fully following, the walk fully committed, and your hurdles will be little ones, though others might see them as great among the giants. Yom Kippur, let's go back to Joseph. He was rejected. We might be rejected. But in Genesis 45, Joseph, as you know, is sold into Egypt by his brethren. And we have in a verse this great revelation of Joseph to his brethren. Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And no man stood before him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. It's a very personal moment, isn't it? Just as it was a personal moment when the Lord made himself known to you. A deeply personal moment, wasn't it? When we each began to understand these rich things of the present dispensation. And you can write, you can preach, you can proclaim, you can testify with all the joy that was yours, and others will not understand it. Don't be disappointed. Keep sharing as best you can. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. The rest of the world is going to know when Christ reveals himself to his brethren. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." Do you see? "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Yom Kippur, you see, is not only the national day of forgiveness of sins for Israel, because Joseph frankly and freely forgives his brothers. How do you think the children of Israel are going to be nationally forgiven? Well, they're going to be forgiven when the messenger of the covenant comes to them and they discover that it's their brother that they rejected. And he will bring in the new covenant, in which is forgiveness of sins. And praise God, as he has said, their sins and their iniquities he'll remember no more. There'll be a day, friends, when your family, perhaps, and your closest friends will remember. Mightn't be in this life. But don't let rejection diminish your enthusiasm. Don't let rejection of those nearest to you inhibit your sharing of that which is precious to you. Because just as the Lord had some of his family that eventually believed in him, remember, so you might find also the joy of having members of your family believe as you do. But Joseph's brothers were troubled at his presence, and sure the nation of Israel's going to be troubled when the Lord stands among them. Some will ask, as Zechariah says, "Where did you get these wounds?" And he will say, "In the house of those who loved me." In verse 4, he had to tell them twice. Genesis 45, verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." They didn't want to, did they? Come near to me. I know you cried out for your family. Come near to me. And they came near on that day. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." You see? Twice he had to tell them. "And now, do not be grieved, nor angry with yourselves." Of course, they are going to mourn for him, and that's what Yom Kippur is about. Mourning. nor angry with yourselves that you saw me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. Yes, preservation of life. You know, God made a choice. Joseph was the type of Christ. He had those dreams. He had that coat. And he suffered for it, didn't he? But ultimately, eventually, his family recognized him. And my encouragement for you today in this lesson is this. No matter how difficult your walk or testimony might be, do not be discouraged. Share the truth that God has given to you. Share it meekly, calmly, quietly, and confidently, following the Lord fully, serving him fully from the heart, and leave all the consequences to him. It's for you and me to stand. It's for you and me to say, "The Lord has spoken and revealed himself to me. I cannot discard the truth that is now mine, that I have embraced." And may the Lord bless you as you walk worthy of this great and wonderful calling which is ours today, as found in those post-Acts letters of Paul. We thank you, Father, for Yom Kippur. We thank you for the great Day of Atonement, when the nation of Israel will indeed, Father, look upon the one that they have pierced. And they will notice, Father, the one that they rejected, their brother. And we thank you so much, Father, for them. For that day will be a day of where the spirit of grace and supplication will be poured upon them. And they will come near to you through your Son. And what a day of rejoicing. One day of lament, and then, Father, 7 days of festivity of your provision. And we thank you for that. For indeed, Father, there's coming a day when we will literally be raised and seated in those heavenly places, and our rest in him will also begin, and we look forward to that. We bless you, we praise you, and we thank you for all things through Christ our Lord. Amen.